My guest at this time is Catherine Engelbrecht. She's the founder and president of True the Vote, a group dedicated to ensuring fair elections by making sure those who are eligible to vote can do so and those who aren't do not. For the past few years, True the Vote has been at the epicenter of the scandal involving IRS harassment of conservative organizations seeking tax-exempt status. On Friday, the Justice Department announced there would be no charges filed against Lois Lerner, the former head of exempt organizations at the IRS, who invoked her Fifth Amendment rights to not testify and possibly incriminate herself before Congress on multiple occasions. And Catherine, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
The official word came in a letter to Congress on Friday from Assistant Attorney General Peter Kadzik. He said the Justice Department investigation found, quote, substantial evidence of mismanagement, poor judgment, and institutional inertia, leading to the belief by many tax-exempt applicants that the IRS targeted them based on their political viewpoints, but poor management is not a crime. What was your reaction to that?
Disappointed, but not shocked. This is a lawless administration. They write the rules and then play by those that they choose to follow. It is certainly not a surprise at all that they've chosen to try to wipe the slate clean of the IRS scandal, as they have so many other scandals, so that hopefully the Americans will forget before the next election.
What does this say about justice in this administration?
It says that justice in their hands is a mockery. This is an arrogant and corrupt administration that that holds no justice for the American people. And it is my great hope and prayer that next November the American people will reassert themselves through their vote to take back the reins of this country.
Well, what do you think when you see this? This was a issue of poor management, and nothing criminal happened.
I mean, it makes a mockery of everything that I and so many others have been through these last few years. When we were testifying before Congress, testifying before the Senate, submitting—I bet our organization alone submitted 500 or more documents that show clearly that this was far more than mismanagement. This was not only intentional targeting in an attempt to silence what they perceived to be a political threat, but beyond that, there was collusion between the IRS and other branches of government. And we have the documentation that proves it all. But, you know, if you don't choose to prosecute, and if you have a system that allows for that outcome to hold, then that's what they're going to choose. They don't look to police themselves. They're not interested in the better interests of their fellow countrymen. They're interested in the survival of their party.
The emails and email scandals have become pretty common. So just to clarify this particular one, Lois Lerner's emails were destroyed and some have been recovered. And you mentioned that there are documents related to alleged collusion, which you say proved collusion, with other branches of government. Which other branches were involved?
Well, I mean, in my particular instance, although we have not gotten as far as we would like and hope to in the coming year in our lawsuit against the IRS, where we hope to have an opportunity at discovery and peeling back the layers that we know must exist between the IRS and OSHA and BATF and other elements of the government that found their way into my life inexplicably. What we do know factually and with certainty is that the IRS was working closely with select Democrat congressmen, particularly in my instance, Elijah Cummings, who sought and received from Lois Lerner information that, when I requested it myself about me, came back redacted. So I can't get the information that Lois and Elijah shared, but somehow that's all excusable.
What about the Justice Department's role? I know there was some communication from the IRS hoping to actually prosecute some of these organizations. Was the Justice Department involved in that? Was the FBI involved with that? How did that work?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Department of Justice, those are the attorneys that are defending the IRS in court. the thought that they would be the ones to head up an investigation, again, it makes a mockery of the process. A special prosecutor should have been assigned to this at the outset, and there is only one reason that didn't occur, and that is they didn't want the answers. If you don't want the answers, you engineer the system to not ask the questions, and that's exactly what we've seen play out.
So this was never a serious Justice Department investigation, whether under Holder or Lynch?
I don't believe it was, no. I believe that they were counting upon the American people to have a short attention span. And it proved to be a little longer than they had calculated, but nonetheless, they found a way to extinguish what they believe was a threat. But what I think they are discounting too heavily is that Americans will forget. I think Americans have had enough, and I think that that's going to be reflected next November.
Catherine, one of the amazing things that I think it was you that revealed in an interview with us a while back was even well after this scandal exploded, your organization and others were still being harassed by the IRS. Is that still going on?
No, thankfully, you know, things have gotten all quiet. You know, one of the things I've learned in this multi-year process is that this administration counts on fear and intimidation. They rely upon those as plays in the playbook. When you refuse to be afraid, they don't know quite what bucket to put you in. I learned that being quiet about the targeting that was happening was really one of the worst things that I could do, and that by speaking about it publicly, it took away the power that they were counting on to keep me in line. So the moral of the story is, you know, tell the truth loudly and often.
We're talking with Catherine Engelbrecht, founder and president of True the Vote. And Catherine, you mentioned a little bit earlier in our conversation about the legal action you're taking against the IRS. Where does that stand right now, and where does it go in light of the news from last Friday?
Well, our initial suit was dismissed by the original judge in the federal case because he believed the IRS attorneys who stood before him in the courtroom and said, there's no chance that any emails will ever be discovered. There's simply nothing to see. This is a moot case. We've given them their C3 status, their nonprofit status. It's what they sought to begin with. And so there's no point. And the judge agreed. We disagreed vehemently, but didn't count on some of the news that broke almost immediately thereafter, which is, of course, now, as we know, the discovery of the recoverability of all of these emails and the dots that began being put together, which led ultimately to an opportunity, a crack in the case, that gave us an avenue for appeal. And we are anxiously awaiting being heard by the court, hopefully in the first few months of 2016, where we believe we will have an opportunity to seek discovery. And if that occurs, then we'll see how far we can get. I have no doubt that it's going to be a fight every step of the way.
And last question before we let you go. Obviously, next year is a major election year. What are the priorities of True the Vote heading into the next presidential campaign?
We will continue to encourage citizens to be engaged in the process, to remind them that just voting is not enough, that we need to be engaged in the assurance that free and fair elections rule the day, that every eligible American voter has an opportunity to participate in an election of integrity. And that takes all of us. That's not something that we should expect the government to provide. We should be willing to provide that. And I think in that process, it reminds us all that the power really does rest with the people.
Catherine, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks so much.
Catherine Engelbrecht is the founder and president of True the Vote. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.